Extract from Thief of Time by Terry Pratchett continued. And this one starts with desks. This is a desk of a professional. It is clear that their job is their life. There are human touches, but these are the human touches that strict usage allows in a chilly world of duty and routine. Mostly, they're the only piece of colour in this picture are blacks and greys. It's a coffee mug. Someone, somewhere, wanted to make it a jolly mug. It bears a rather unconvincing picture of a teddy bear and the legend to the world's greatest granddad. And a slight change in the style of lettering on the word granddad makes it clear that this has come from one of those stalls that have hundreds of mugs like this declaring that they're for the world's greatest granddad, dad, mum, granny, uncle, aunt, blank. Only someone whose life contains very little else one feels would treasure a piece of gimcrackery like this. It currently holds tea with a slice of lemon. The bleak desktop also contains a paper knife in the shape of a scythe and a number of hourglasses. Death picks up the mug in a skeletal hand and takes a sip, pausing only to look again at the wording he'd read thousands of times before and then put it down. "Very well," he said in tones of funeral bells, "show me." The last item on the desktop was a mechanical contrivance. Contrivance was exactly the right kind of word for it. Most of it was two discs. One was horizontal and contained a circlet of very small squares of what would prove to be carpet. The other was set vertically and had a large number of arms, each one of which held a very small slice of buttered toast. Each slice was set so that it could spin freely as the turning of the wheel brought it down towards the carpet disc. "I believe I am beginning to get the idea," said Death. The small figure by the machine saluted smartly and beamed. If a rat skull could beam. It pulled a pair of goggles over its eye sockets, hitched up its robe and clambered into the machine. Death was never quite sure why he allowed a death of rats to have an independent existence. After all, being death meant being the death of everything, including rodents of all descriptions. But perhaps everyone needs a tiny part of themselves that can, metaphorically, be allowed to run naked in the rain, to think the unthinkable thoughts, to hide in corners and spy in the world, to do the forbidden but enjoyable deeds. Slowly, the death of rats pushed the treadles, and the wheels began to spin. "Exciting, eh?" said a hoarse voice by Death's ear. It belonged to Quoth, the raven, who had attached himself to the household as the death of rats' personal transport and crony. He was, he always said, only in it for the eyeballs. The carpets began to turn. The tiny toasties slapped down randomly, sometimes with a buttery squelch, sometimes without. Quoth watched carefully in case any eyeballs were involved. Death saw that some time and effort had been spent devising a mechanism to rebutter each returning slice, an even more complex one measured the number of buttered carpets. After a couple of complete turns, the lever of the buttered carpet ratio device had moved to 60%, and the wheels stopped. "Well," said Death, "if you did it again, it could well be that." The death of rats shifted a gear level and began to pedal again. "Squeak," it demanded. Death obediently leaned closer. This time the needle went only as high as 40%. Death leaned closer. The eight pieces of carpet that had been buttered this time were, in their entirety, the pieces that had been missed first time round. Spidery cogwheels whirred in the machine. A sign emerged, rather shakily, on springs, with an effect that was the visual equivalent of the word boing. A moment later, two sparklers spluttered fitfully into life and sizzled away on either side of the word. Malignity. Death nodded. It was just as he had expected. He crossed his study, The death of rats scampering ahead of him and reached a full-length mirror. It was dark, like the bottom of a well. There was a pattern of skulls and bones around the frame. For the sake of appearances, Death could not look himself in the skull in a mirror with cherubs and roses around it. The Death of Rats climbed the frame in a scrabble of claws and looked at Death expectantly from the top. Quoth fluttered over and pecked briefly at his own reflection on the basis that anything was worth a try. "Show me," said Death. "Show me my thoughts." A chessboard appeared, but it was triangular and so big that only the nearest point could be seen. Right on this point was the world, turtle, elephants, the little orbiting sun and all. It was the disc world, which existed only just this side of total improbability and therefore in border country. In border country, the border gets crossed and sometimes things creep into the universe and have rather more in their mind than a better life for their children and a wonderful future in the fruit-picking and domestic service industries. On every other black or white triangle of the chessboard, all the way to infinity, was a small grey shape, rather like an empty hooded robe. Why now, thought Death.